Short story number 19, The Apartments, by Larry Vardaman. Upon returning from our honeymoon, Jeanette and I rented our first apartment for the summer in the attic apartment at the landlady of the landlady where I had previously lived in a basement apartment. Ron Humphreys and Danny Clarida had been my roommates there for the previous 3 years. I finished my Bachelor of Science degree in physics in the summer of 1965 and then began a graduate program while waiting for the Air Force to accept my application to enter officer training school. I taught 4 undergraduate physics labs each week under a graduate teaching assistantship and took a full load of graduate physics courses myself. Jeanette took a nursing position at the Phelps County Retirement Hospital in Rolla, where she cared for indigent and mentally ill patients. The stories she told about her patients were hard to believe. One of her patients was so confused she would completely disrobe during the night and tear her sheets into strips by morning. At the end of the first summer of married life, Jeanette and I took a weekend canoe trip with some friends of ours, Larry and Sherry Massey. They had gotten married the week after us near St. Louis as well. Sherry was a friend of Jeanette's and also an RN. Larry was a mechanical engineering student at Rolla who I knew slightly. Jeanette and Sherry had driven from St. Louis several times the previous year to visit us before we were married. Late in August, we agreed with Larry and Sherry to camp out one night as we canoed the Merrimack River near Onondaga Cave for about 20 miles. We experienced warm, pleasant days, 2 days on the slowly meandering river, camping on sandbars, preparing meals over a campfire, and swimming in sheltered pools in shady spots as we floated through the woods. From time to time, we'd find rope swings hanging from trees over the river and would stop to plunge into the water like children. Once our canoes almost overturned as we tried to go under an overhanging log and became entangled in the brush. Canoeing slowly down a lazy river that summer is one of my favorite memories of summertime in Missouri. Even the mosquitoes weren't too bad. It'd have likely been more pleasant if I hadn't been taking Vicodin to kill the pain from having 3 wisdom teeth removed the day before we left on the trip. We moved to our second apartment on the other side of campus in September that summer. It was a basement apartment near the main route for automobile and pedestrian traffic to the campus. Students continuously walked past the entrance and backyard of our apartment. One day, as I was coming home from class, I noticed students laughing as they passed me coming from the direction of our apartment. I walked to the door of our apartment and saw Jeanette in the backyard, hanging a load of wash on the clothesline. She was standing on a chair, barely reaching the line above her, propped up by poles which kept the clothes from touching the ground. Carefully, I walked over and lowered the lines to where she could reach them from the ground. She told me later that the poles on her mother's clotheslines had always been placed to allow her to reach them from the ground without any adjustments. She hadn't realized that the poles could be moved. Our apartment had only a small kitchen, a small dining room, a bedroom, and a tiny bathroom, but it was large enough to have about a half dozen of our friends over for a Christmas party. Both my roommates, Danny Clarida and Ron Humphreys, and another member of the BSU, Gary Achenbach, and his wife, had gotten married the same summer as us and crammed into our apartment with their wives. It was a tight but enjoyable last get-together before we all scattered to the four winds to graduate school and military service. Vietnam was in full swing, and all of us had military obligations to fill. We rented our third apartment while I was attending St. Louis University. It was also a small one-bedroom apartment, but it had a larger living room and a swimming pool. The main thing I remember about this apartment was being locked out of it and spending several hours sitting on the floor in the hall outside the door, waiting for Jeanette to let me in. I don't remember the details of the incident except to say that I had insulted Jeanette in some way, and she decided to let me know about it for a while. In the early days of our marriage, Jeanette was very feisty. If I irritated her in some way, she'd hit me in the stomach or on the shoulder, and it wasn't a love tap. It hurt. She's a quarter Italian, and I think this was her Italian side coming out. She's still Italian, but her style of retaliation is now more sophisticated. Our fourth apartment was provided by the Air Force at Scott Air Force Base near Belleville, Illinois. It was a larger two-bedroom apartment, but was very basic. The floors were asphalt tile, and the view through the back windows was of an Illinois cornfield. I had partly joined the Air Force to see the world, but was assigned to a base less than 50 miles from our homes. Not only that, for 3 years we experienced Midwestern summers and winters in cornfields rather than exotic tropical vistas as we had hoped. Our fifth apartment was another one-bedroom rental while I was on temporary duty to Travis Air Force Base in California to conduct fog dispersal research. Jeanette and I drove to California with Michelle, who had been born by then, and rented the apartment off base in Fairfield, California. I wasn't allowed to stay in the visiting officer's quarters with a family and wasn't paid for the extra expense of renting the apartment for my family, but it was worth the extra expense to have my family with me for 3 months that I was there. This apartment was our first in a California stucco building with no insulation, which allowed the heat to escape and the street noise to enter easily. We rented our sixth and final apartment at the Married Students Housing Complex during the first summer at Colorado State University. It was a two-bedroom townhouse built four to a unit in a maze of buildings. There were so many children in the village that it was like living in a daycare center. The noise was perpetual from about 10 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night. The units had no air conditioning and radiated heat until almost midnight most afternoons and evenings. Fortunately, we were able to leave these apartments and rent a home in September for the next 4 years. Apartments are a necessary part of early life for most families until better paying jobs allow for the purchase of a house. They provide experiences not found in more private living arrangements. But a home with less noise, more privacy, more room, and personal ownership certainly is a preferable way to live. Unfortunately, the trend in the United States economy and social ethics seems to be driving our society to less private ownership and more compact lifestyles. I hope my grandchildren won't be forced to live most of their lives in an apartment, but at some point be able to afford a home of their own.